Pastor Joe McTarski.
Well, good morning, man.
Good morning.
I read about a young man that committed a crime in his small community. And as he was taken by a police officer and put in a jail many miles away from his home, he got there and he started to write letters to his dad. And he wrote his dad telling him that he was very sorry for that act that he did and for embarrassing him in a small community. And the dad did not feel comfortable on writing. His writing skills, he thought, were not that good. So he never wrote his son back. And the son served many years in jail. And the son wrote each and every single month, but never received a letter in return. So the dad read his last mail. And the mail said, "Dad, please forgive me. I'm very sorry for what I did and for embarrassing you in our small community. And I just want to know something, Dad. Do you forgive me and do you want me home? If you do, would you put one piece of a string on our big giant oak tree in our front yard? Because the bus that I'm going to be coming home on, it drives right by our home." So it was the day of, the young man got released. He gets on the bus. He sits down. As he sits down, he puts his face into his hands. And as he puts his face into his hands, an older woman, a grandmother, if you will, was just looking at him. Her heart was moved with compassion. And she sat right next to him and said, "Son, what is going on?" And he opened up his heart and he shared the story, how he wrote his dad each and every single month but never got a reply back. And wrote the last letter saying, "Dad, if you forgive me, if you love me, if you want me back home, would you put a piece of string on the big oak tree?" And the boy said he couldn't really stomach to see or not see what he's going to notice on the big oak tree. So the grandmother said, "You know, son, what I'll do for you is, if it's okay, you just point out the house and I'll let you know what I see." So the bus actually turned on the street where he grew up on. The boy said it's the third house on the right, and he put his hands into his face, into his hands. And the grandmother started to cry and said, "Son, son, the whole oak tree, it's filled with strings all over the place. Your dad wants you home. Your dad forgives you, and your dad loves you." Lord Jesus, as we look at the cross screams forgiveness for us, Lord. How our sins are washed away because of your blood, Jesus, that you poured out upon the cross. And I pray, Lord, as we look at the cross and we talk about the resurrection, God, Lord, that there will be an ocean filled of encouragement just splashing in our hearts, Lord, this day, that we'll keep our focus on the cross and what the cross means, and that we'll give you praise, Lord, about the resurrection, how you died for us, Lord, and you rose again, and we as Christians serve a risen Savior, and we praise you for that, Lord. So, God, as we open up your word, I pray in Jesus' name that you please open up our hearts, God, and that your word will fall upon soil that your Holy Spirit has prepared for us to receive from you, Lord. Jesus, we want to leave today more in love with you. We want to leave as men of God, soldiers for Jesus Christ, not ashamed of the gospel. God, that we want to be radical Christians for your sake. Jesus, you were radical for us. You died openly for us. It's our reasonable response to live openly for you now, God. Do a work in us and do a work through us. And that's our prayer, Jesus. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, and all God's men said, amen. Amen. Well, if you guys would be so kind to open up your Bible to the book of Luke chapter 24. And we're going to study verses 1 through 12 of the Gospel according to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the ground, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day and rise again." And they remembered his words. And they returned from the tomb and told all those things to the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloth lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. So what we have here today, this morning, is really a portion of Scripture that speaks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ, know this, it is a cornerstone of our Christian faith. In fact, it's one of the fundamentals of Christianity. If somebody would hit you up and ask you, "Hey, why are you a Christian?" Well, we would say, "I believe in fundamentals. I believe in eight things." There's actually eight components that make up Christianity. So someone says, "Hey, you're a Christian." And I say, "Yeah, Joe, I'm a Christian." Okay, what is a Christian? Well, a Christian is based on eight fundamentals. It's based on eight aspects. It's based on eight elements. And let me lay that before you this morning. Eight aspects of Christianity. So someone says, "You're a Christian?" "Yeah, I'm a Christian." "What's a Christian?" Well, a Christian believes eight things. These are the fundamentals. There's fundamentals, and these are doctrinal issues that we have to believe to be a Christian. Then there's also what is called cardinal issues. And that cardinal issues are debatable. But these eight fundamentals, they're non-debatable. To be a Christian, we have to hold tight to these eight principles, these eight elements. And they are, number one, the authority of Scripture. Everything contained in God's Word, the authority of Scripture. If it's not in the Bible, we don't believe it. If it's in the Bible, we believe it. So we believe in authority of Scripture. Secondly, we believe in mankind's fallen condition. Man is a sinner in need of a Savior. Thirdly, we believe in the two natures of Jesus Christ. Jesus fully, he's fully God, and yet fully man. Then next, we believe salvation is by grace through faith. It's a free gift from God. Salvation is a free gift from God. We don't got to go on these mornings and hold up magazines in front of lunches and try to earn merit. It's free. It's by God's grace. The next, we believe in the Trinity. There's God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We also believe in the atonement of Christ. The atonement of Christ. As soon as Jesus died upon the cross, we're at one minute with God because of Jesus. The veil has been ripped. Seventh, we believe in there's a heaven and there's a hell. And lastly, we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And please forgive me, I know I'm kind of talking fast, but I only have a few minutes with a lot of information to cover, and we're going to be celebrating communion too. So if you didn't get those three fundamentals of Christianity, I'm going to hang out afterwards, and I could go over them with you. So what we have here in this story is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So in verse 1, we have what Luke wrote. He wrote that now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning. If you could underscore very early in the morning. Very early in the morning. There's something very important to come to God very early in the morning. All the Gospels write that they came early.
And it's always good to come to the Lord very early in the morning. Proverbs 8:17 says, "They that seek me early, they shall find me." And it's true, those that seek the Lord early in the morning, in every situation, in an early way, in every day, they find the Lord. I read a story about a grandfather, and a grandfather lost his treasure watch during a family gathering. So he called his grandchildren together, and he told them he'll pay them $100 to the one who would find his treasure watch. This sent the kids on a mad scramble hunt, running and screaming and turning over everything. But the youngest grandson just sat. He watched his brothers, he watched his sisters, and he watched his cousins. They all came back empty-handed. The next morning at breakfast, he handed his grandfather the watch. The grandfather said, "How did you find it?" And he was puzzled. The little boy said, "I got up early in the morning and just listened to the ticking." There's something about rising up early in the morning and just saying, "Lord, before the storms of this day take place, I just want to sit before your presence. I want to be still and just to know that you are God," and put this in perspective, because God is in control. So we notice in verse 1, they rose early in the morning. Secondly, I want you to notice with me in verse 2, the scripture teaches us that they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. So they got up and they ran and they saw the tomb as they were preparing to see the body of Jesus Christ. This was something completely unexpected when they got to the tomb. Mark 16 verse 3 says, when they got to the tomb, they said, "Who rolled away the door to the tomb? Who rolled away that rock?" You see, that stone that actually covered that tomb weighed about 6,000 pounds. And in the area of the tomb, I've seen it for myself. I've been in Israel 3 different times, and where Bible scholars believe that Jesus Christ actually rose from the grave, it's actually it's a big giant area, and where they believe the body of Jesus actually was placed, and so there would have to be a big giant stone to cover it. And so when they went there, that stone was actually removed, and again, that stone is about 6,000 pounds. And so they were perplexed and saying, "Dude, what just took place? Who moved this?" And we know that according to scripture in Matthew chapter 28 verse 2, it says that a great earthquake took place, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came down, and he actually rolled back the door of the stone so it could be empty. And so an earthquake happened, and the angel opened up the tomb, not to let Jesus out, but to let the witnesses in. Not to let Jesus out, but the witnesses in. Something I want to point out here is that the Lord has spoken to my heart. God has told us to come in to Him. And then come into Him and then go out and tell. Come into Him and go out and tell. And that's the mandate of Easter. We come in, we taste how good the Lord is. Taste and see how good the Lord is, the Bible teaches us. And then as we taste how the Lord is, we go and tell. Like this morning, some of you guys may go home. Somebody may ask you, "Hey, how was that breakfast?" You could say, "Oh, man, dude, they have these pizzas? It's like a breakfast and pizza. Dude, it's delicious, man. And then I got to get me a whole pan of that thing." And you taste it good. Now you're going and telling. Same thing with the gospel. We have tasted how good the Lord is, haven't we? He's changed our lives. Our heart was hard at one time. It was mad at the world because the circumstances went down. And we just developed a hard heart, and our countenance showed it. And then by the grace of God, Jesus poured out His love upon us, melted our heart, and our countenance has changed because of the grace of Jesus Christ. And we're grateful because of our salvation. Now we have to tell. And if we don't tell, the rocks will cry out. So we're called to go in and then go out and tell. And that's our commission. And that's the message of Easter, that we serve a risen Savior. And by the way, this separates Christianity from all other religions. Because all the other religions, their gods,
they're still dead. They're still buried somewhere. Our Savior Jesus is the only God that's alive. So someone says, hey, what's the difference of Christianity and serving Buddha? Or what's the difference between serving Christianity and Jesus versus Muhammad? Or whatever it may be. And you say, well, I'm glad you asked that question. The major difference is that our God's alive, and one day I'm going to see him face to face. And I got a ready plan, dude. When I get to heaven, Jesus is going to be right there. I'm going to jump in his lap. I'm like, Jesus, man, it's good to see you. Look at those eyes of compassion and those eyes of love. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving a fatherless boy that didn't have a dad in his life, that didn't have any skills, that didn't have any direction. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being faithful, that you are faithful to the fatherless. And I want to give you praise, and I just want to love you, Jesus. And then I get to be reunited with my Father and other people that's in heaven. I'm telling you, I have a heart of gratitude towards my Jesus. And I got to tell people, and I can't wait to see him. But what separates Christianity from other religions is that we serve a God that's alive and well. Amen? He's alive. And we're going to be celebrating that. And that, not only tomorrow, each and every single day we should be celebrating that. So we serve a Savior that we get to praise. Verses 6 and 7, it is not... Then the angel said to them, he said, he's not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in the Sea of Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day, and he rose again. So he tells them, don't you remember, he's not here. And that same power that rose Jesus Christ from the grave, note this, that same power is available to us to rise us up. From the dead of drugs, from the dead of lying, from the dead of the flesh, the power of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to you. And that we're called to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit each and every single day. So we won't walk in the flesh. So we won't make provisions for the flesh. And the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to you. It's on the table. Are you going to take it each and every single morning? Lord, I need you. Fill me. Because every day my flesh wants to do fleshly things. But when I'm filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, I can become that godly man and walk in his ways. Verse 8 says, And they returned from the tomb and told all these... And they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. And so what happened is they returned from the tomb and they just shared, hey, there's hope. Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And I got to tell you, there's hope in Jesus Christ. There's hope in the Lord. And so they ran and shared hope. It was December 2nd. My cell phone went off. I'm a chaplain for the fire department. And my commander mentioned there's a shooting that just went down in San Bernardino. We need you there right now. So I got in my car, threw on the sirens, and shot to San Bernardino. I pulled up, and I got to tell you what I seen. I seen police cars from all different agencies. I saw the FBI there. I saw canines running around. And so when I went to the command force, they said, Chaplain, we need you at the Rock Church in San Bernardino. There's over 400 people that either saw, witnessed, heard, and they need prayer. They need hope. And so I got in my car and I went over to the church and each person, they were interviewed by a detective and they had to share what they saw at the shooting. They had to share what they heard at the shooting. And so I went and as they were sharing the detectives, then the detective said, these chaplains are available. Go talk with them now so they can pray for you. I was talking to people that have blood on their shirt. I was talking to people that were helping people and their friends and they saw the friends die. And I got to tell you, as I was there in my unit and I drove down to San Bernardino, I was thinking, I was praying, Jesus, you provide hope. I ran to a scene and tell people that there's hope in Jesus Christ. And that's what these people did here. They ran and they said, there's hope in Jesus Christ. He's alive, he's well, and he could change your life. Guys, we have the message of hope. Look for somebody and share that hope with somebody. People are desperate and they need hope. You know, I have a whole lot more to share, but my time is up now. And so let me just read the last scripture to you, because we have to have communion here. I know that we have a time frame too, so I want to respect the time that's given over to me. Let me read verse 12, and I'll be done. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what he had happened. Peter, this is the same Peter that denied Jesus Christ. This is the same Peter that needed to be touched. And because there was something inside of him that there was a mixture of feelings, because he denied the person that he loved. You ever heard someone that you love and you like feel totally terrible about? You know what? You could go to Jesus and cast your cares to him, and he'll provide rest for that. And Jesus, you would never disappoint Jesus. Matthew 11, 20 says, "Come to me, all you weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So despite what you're going through, the shame or the embarrassment, what you have, guess what? That's on the cross. And we celebrated Good Friday yesterday. We commemorate Good Friday. So anything you guys have ever done, that's on the cross. And as far as the east is from the west, Jesus forgets them. So right now, if you ask Jesus for forgiveness on that particular sin, whatever that was, and then you go to Jesus and say, "Oh Jesus, I prayed for this." Jesus is going to say like, "Son, I don't remember what you're talking about." Because as far as the east is from the west, he remembers that sin no more. So from God's perspective, that's under the blood of Jesus Christ, and we praise him for that. So walk in the power of his Spirit and the new life he has given you in Jesus Christ. And so I just want to bring an encouragement to you this morning. That you know what? Early in the morning, let's just seek God. And you know what? Know that we serve a Savior that's alive and well, and we get the blessing of the message to share it with other people. Out of the abundance of heart, the mouth will speak. So fill your heart with the things of the Lord, and watch will come out of your mouth. People need Jesus. You know, we only have one life to live, and it's going to soon pass. And only what we do for Christ is going to last. And you and I, we're going to see our Savior soon and very soon. And I just pray when you see him that you'll just jump in his arms too and say, "Dad, I'm home. I'm home." And you know what? I'm one. I've determined when I get to heaven, man, I want to slide right there, right before my Savior, and just say, "Hey, man, bloody and all, man, I served you all I could do upon the face of the earth here, man. I'm all torn up, man. This is painful. My hair is this way, my shirt's that way. But man, I gave it all for you, Jesus, here on earth, because you gave it all for me upon the cross. It's the least that I could do for you, my Jesus." Just pray. Lord, I thank you for just the few minutes I was able to share with my brothers. I pray that you would have encouraged them, Lord. And I just pray for those that are struggling right now, God. Maybe like Peter, they feel kind of guilty and bad about things. Lord, I pray that they would just cast that care to you, Lord. That they would know you're a heavenly Father. You're our Abba Father. And you just forgive them. You wrap your fatherly arms around them. And you say, "My son, it's okay. Don't carry that burden. You don't have it. I carry that burden for you. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Don't weigh yourself down. That's why I went to the cross. So just give it to me." And so for those brothers that need prayer today, or maybe you're not even right with Jesus, you need to make peace with Jesus. And I just want to pray over you. I'm your brother in Christ. I want to come alongside you and pray with you. So if you need prayer right now, would you raise your hand as every head is bowed, every eye is closed? This is between you and the Lord. Anyone need prayer, just raise your hand. And you're just casting your cares on him right now. You're saying, "Jesus, I need prayer for this guilt I'm feeling. I need prayer for this shame that I'm feeling. I just need prayer because I want to be a man of God. I want to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just need a touch from you." So, Lord, you know my request. And, Father, right now, you see the hands that are being raised to you. They're not being raised to a man. They're being raised to a living God. And I just pray, Lord, that you just reach down and touch them, Lord. Fill them afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit. Meet their needs. And I just thank you for your faithfulness. You can put your hands down. And, Lord, I just thank you for all the men that just got right with you and they were able to cast their cares on you so they could leave this room just refreshed and encouraged with their walk with you. So we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to celebrate communion right now. Brother's going to pass out the communion elements, and we're going to have a worship song as the elements are passed out. And so go ahead, hold on to them, and then we're going to read out of 1 Corinthians, and then we'll be concluded for this morning. Just worship the Lord together as the communion elements are being passed out to us. Yeah, so as you open it up, there's a cracker on top, and then there's the juice there. And I'll read 1 Corinthians 11:23. Okay. Well, looks like everyone has them. 1 Corinthians 11:23 reads, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So together as brothers, let's take this this wafer and then let's put it in our mouth and remember how Jesus was beat for us to give us forgiveness of our sins. So let's take this together. Then next, let's take this juice and this drink and remember it's the blood of Jesus Christ that forgives us of all our sins. And let's drink together. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this this moment of communion that we had. And your word says we do it in remembrance of you. And we remember you, Jesus. You died for us so we can live for you, Lord. And we give you praise, Father. And I thank you for all these men today, Lord. I pray that they would just leave this meeting today just encouraged in you, Father God. Raise them up to be men after your own heart, Lord. Men that's on fire for you, Jesus. Lord, use this group in a mighty way. It's in the powerful name of Jesus Christ that I pray. Amen. 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 Thank you. Yes. Dan mentioned that a book was published, and I just want to share with you just a couple of thoughts why it was published, the heart behind it. I knew that the Lord wanted to use me in ministry, but I lacked the principles. I lacked, like, okay, what are the principles? What are steps that will be good to use, have in a person's life for ministry? And I really didn't see anything out there. And so the Lord put upon my heart, and I wrote this book. It's called Principles for the Ministry. And so what it covers is basic principles, how you know that you're called by God. You have vision, you need prayer, be a man of the word, have character, and be able men, and love the word, and be yourself. So I wrote this, and so here's one chapter, chapter 2, Conviction of God's Holiness. Isaiah 6:3, and the one who called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. His earth is full of his glory." And 1 Peter 1:16 says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." We must understand that God is holy, and we must live holy lives. The pursuit of holiness is a discipline that is motivated by hunger to know God and be like him. Holiness is Christ's likeness. What is like Christ is holy. We learn what is like Christ through the study of his word. As leaders, people will look to you as an example of godliness. In a world that praises sin and adores unrighteousness, we need people with godly character. We present a holy God and his holy kingdom. So they're a little friend, they're real short, but they get to the point. And so that was the motivation for it. And then also a second motivation to write this book was I get the opportunity under Pastor David to oversee a multitude of ministries. And I thought, you know what? Hey, before we go out and do ministry, it's important to come together and have a devotion and kind of like get marching orders before we go out. And so so this book has been encouraging for those that lead in ministry to give it for their servants. And so before they talk about business of the ministry, before you get organized, be careful not to organize the Holy Spirit out of it. And so let's get together and have some principles. And I oversee our sports ministry. So before the guys play a sport, they come together and they read one of the devotions. And so as they read a devotion, then they go out. A few Calvary Chapels, Calvary Chapel Fontana, Calvary Chapel Oxnard, they bought these books for their staff and for their servants so they could take it in before they go out. So those were the two reasons. I wanted to learn what principles and ministries were, and secondly, I wanted to make it available for people that help out ministry to give to people so they before they do something, they can step in and have a devotion. So that's the heart of it. And And the cost is only $5. We're not making money on it. It's just to be a blessing to other people. So my son Joshua is over there, and so he has these books available if you like. Thank you again for having me, and this is a blessing of the ministry. Thank you, Pastor Dan.
Great to know, a good message of encouragement that our hope is in Jesus Christ and to seek Him every morning. That's the best way to start your day off, is with the Lord. And so